Hi, my name is Mars. This is one of my favorite songs I grew up with by Sodom, The Vice of Killing. Listening to Consider Dead podcast. I'm your host, Dead King.
This is Travis.
And today we're going to be interviewing
Mars.
All right. And he also brought his guest, his wife,
Taylor.
Hey. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you guys for driving out here. I know you guys live in Ventura, right?
Yeah.
In Ventura. Oh, yeah. So I know you guys took a little mission to get out here. I know we're kind of far.
Gets us out of the house.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So yeah, man. So we brought you guys in because I'm from Bali Ruins, so I had the privilege of playing one of your shows.
Yes.
And I don't know if you guys know, Mars is actually a promoter, a badass promoter, and
legit promoter,
a very humble promoter in my opinion. This is just me, you know, like adding that sprinkle on there, but
some seasoning,
some little spice. Because I'm going to hype this guy up because I love this guy. This guy's a great guy. So, yeah, we brought him in because, you know, we have some bands come in and they're just like, promoters are this, promoters are that. So now we're bringing an actual promoter, a guy who actually cares about the scene, care about the bands. And, you know, now we're just going to have someone, you know, to give you the different side of it. So, well, welcome, Mars. And just, you know, tell us a little about yourself, you know. So, what, you know. How is it, you know, being a promoter so far? You know, for example, when did you start it as a promoter?
Well, pretty much it came randomly. I worked with a guy who promoted out in Ventura as his underling, learning shit. And then, you know, crap happened, stopped with him. And then I got asked to be a promoter for a venue just because of friends just saying that I should because of my passion for the music. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask to be it, but then they asked me. So I became a promoter. It's just, I love the music. I love metal. I love, you know, it's just, I love the music.
Just came naturally.
Huh? Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I've always been wanting to be part of it. Bass player by heart. Haven't done anything with it, so at least I'm part of it.
Also, you come as a musician as well, like a little background of a musician.
Oh, yeah. I've played, when I was a kid, I started off a bass at like 14.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good.
Every kind of bass, too, from upright to electric to
washtub. Oh, you did stand-up bass? Yeah. Yeah. You slapped that?
He plays washtub bass, like in bluegrass.
Oh, wow.
So, and just like I tried out a couple bands, didn't work out, and good friend of mine moved away that was part of a band of mine, so couldn't do that and just lost it. Thought about more different. Mm-hmm. Like I just stopped playing my bass because I was just more worried about my life.
Well, yeah.
Money.
It's kind of hard to mix your personal life with
being a band.
Yeah.
Band, and you know, it's difficult, bro. Like, you'd be playing a band one moment, and then bam, bills, and bam, like relationships or friendships.
Yeah, I was gone for like 12 hours a day when I was living out near Palmdale and stuff, before I moved to Ventura, and like. Mm-hmm. When I got home, I slept and got up and went to work. That's all I did.
Yeah, it became like a routine, huh?
Pretty much, and I just stopped really doing it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've been playing it now a little bit, trying to get back into it and stuff, but I'm at least glad I'm part of the scene, you know, in at least some other way.
All right.
To tribute to it, because I love it. I love my metal, you know, all kinds of metal.
I mean, I got one of your flyers. You also promote, like, punk.
You know, heck yeah. Because, you know, I'm big in crossover.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of crossover metal and thrash, you know, metal and folk.
Yeah, you gotta get some folk in there, man. Heck yeah. Hey, you gotta mix it up, man. That's why I like that you do that. You mix up bands. It's not like, they're not extreme enough to be with this band. You know what I mean? It's like, they sound dope, just throw them in there. You know what I mean?
Yep, yeah, exactly.
Who cares?
So, man. How long have you been promoting for?
Official first show was, I think it was November of last year. It was, it was my
first. We're very new. We're going on our first year.
I gotta be honest, I thought you've been doing it for years, because, like, from what he's told me, and the shows I've been to, it's been, like, pretty professional for the...
Well, for a guy who's been doing it for such a short amount of time, you already left an impression.
Well, like, I've before I did... Just, you know, under my name, I was doing it, you know, with a friend for...
Oh, so you were already helping other people.
I was under somebody doing it, just, you know, helping.
So you learned the ins and outs of it and stuff.
Yes. Oh, wow. I was, you know, being mentored, and then I, you know, me and him lost contact as friends because of drama, and then, yeah, and so pretty much he got kicked out of the place that I'm, you know, promoting at.
So I kind of paved that way.
And so they pretty much, you know, just from everybody else liking me there, like their, you know, sound guy and, you know, the door people, like everybody, you know, liked me, and I still went there and hung out with people at the bar, and they're like, you should do it. You should do it. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then one day we're like going there for a show, just see a show. And I'm like telling my wife, I'm going to ask her.
There to talk to the manager, Tanya, about him going to take over this guy's spot.
Okay.
And she was already working. She goes, hold on, I need to talk to you. I want you to take over Metal Nights. And he goes, that's hilarious, because I was coming here to talk to you. So it was just kind of something that was instantaneous between the both of them, like a mind blink, and it was just meant to be.
That's dope, man.
And what's awesome about Tanya, she is another, she's like my bar mom. Her best friend, Danielle, went to school with my mom.
Oh, wow.
And they were best friends in high school.
All right.
So that also being, she has been promoting for years.
Man. So I'm sure she has a good eye for talent.
She does. Yeah. And she took him under her wing after the falling out with this guy that we had.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for that guy, he's an ass. He wouldn't have gotten
into
it.
I would
have
been in that scene, really.
That guy was a blessing in disguise. You know, he was good for some things. He got him to realize that even if he's not in a band, he can support these bands.
Yeah, but you can take the good and bad from friendships. You know, like, I know some people, we drop the ball, and we're like, F you, but, yeah, it's true. It's like, but you still have those good memories, man.
Oh, no.
You did learn from somebody, you know, and also we move on, you know, we're like, oh, well, that fool was a douche, but I did learn to do this and that and that. So it's like, I got to give him credit for that.
That's what we do tell people when they ask. It's like, you know, the guy's a total ass, but, you know, we're thankful for what he did to us.
Yeah, you can't.
He was meant to come into our lives for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how life goes, man. But yeah.
What areas do you cover promoting?
Promoting pretty much all types of metal. Trying to go towards more of, you know, the faster metal, death, you know, thrash, speed, black metal, do some doom, I'll do some sludge, you know, but that's, doom and sludge is what's big out there, so have no problem with that.
But awesome. Are you mostly in Ventura and LA area?
Right now, Ventura. Right now, but like I said, by summer I'll have a couple other places, probably another place in Ventura, and then there's another place I want to start promoting in Santa Cruz.
Oh, nice. That'll be nice.
So I've been there a couple times. I just haven't talked to them.
They need music out there.
Well, I mean, yeah. Southern Korea, they have something, I think. I don't recall. I don't recall.
It's San Fernando.
I feel like if you put something there, if you set stuff up, that's yours to own.
Well, yeah, if there's no competition out there.
There's no competition.
I don't ever hear shows out there. Because right now, I know there's a promoter. I think it's called what was his name? I can't remember his name. He's in Northridge right now.
Okay.
There's one guy there. I live in Simi Valley. And in the Simi Valley, I noticed there's a lot of rockers out there right now, too. So I know the Simi Valley could use a promoter. I've been seeing guys walking with a Cannibal Corpse. And I was like, I just moved there. And I was like, where are these rockers coming out of the room? You know, why is everyone moving to Simi Valley all of a sudden?
Well, Santa Cruz, also, I kind of grew up out there, too.
Oh, dope.
Because I went to high school out there.
Uh-huh.
And stuff college. Growing up. And college.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of college.
Cool. No, school is no, man. It's either you love it or you
college
don't.
Before you but became a real metalhead and dropped out.
With the school for being a metalhead.
Exactly.
I graduated.
Well, it's funny because I actually took some music business classes.
Oh, wow.
You know, so I know
well,
how.
That's part of it, too, of you getting into promoting and just having an idea.
Well, because, you know, when bands, if they get signed, you want to own your own contract. Because if you have them own you, you know, they own everything.
They extract more money.
They pretty much, you know, if you guys break up, you're not going to make money off of your band.
Yeah.
They're going to make money off of that band. You know,
if you're there or not. Yeah.
But you know, certain contracts where you can make your own money, mm-hmm. you know. So I've mm-hmm. done that. Yeah.
So how is it? So can you do a little walkthrough process of what it's like, what you have to do to be a promoter? So say if you wanted to go to Simi Valley and started promoting there, what would you do? Go talking to bars? What's the process?
Start knocking at every door.
Right?
Let me in!
Jehovah's Witness.
That's pretty much you knock on their door and let me in and listen to my spiel.
Well, yeah, because, you know, just walk in, see what their situation, because, you know, right now as a beginning promoter, I can't provide a sound system.
In time, yeah.
Oh, that's something. Generally, you.
But if they have it there, that makes it easier.
Oh, I see.
You know, I can't provide. You know, I can't just go into a bar that's just a restaurant and stuff, and they don't play music there, and they're like, oh yeah, come on, and they don't have the sound system. I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, if they had a sound system, there's the bar that I'm talking about in Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them play. You know. Rock bands that the 80s, typical dive bar,
mm-hmm.
Rock bands play and stuff there. It's they got the shit, might as well do it. The only thing I might have to worry about is the sound guy,
mm-hmm.
but I have friends,
yeah. They also got sound guy, friends,
I got sound guy friends that's hey, probably can't really pay you, but I help you help me.
It's exposure,
you.
They get to meet the manager of the bars and they're hey, I like the way you sound.
That's why we got really lucky with the garage, because the garage holds a special place in our heart, but. The sound guy, Spencer, who is also in Grave Titan, which is an amazing band.
Oh, wow.
He's the sound guy, and he's also one of our very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do go out and they don't have a sound guy, we would have to consult with Spencer to see if he's clear to do it.
Him and also Malice Thoughts, their singer.
Joseph Malice
Thoughts.
Oh, wow.
And stuff. And so he's very, very talented guy.
All right. Well, shout out to the guy from the garage, his name?
Spencer.
Shout out, Spencer, man. Yeah, because he did the sound for us, Bobby.
Yeah. Spencer and his wife Susie, they're amazing people.
They're actually his original his band. He's this band is his friend's band.
Uh-huh.
Great Time is
my one of
band.
My best friend Tyler.
But
his band
own band is called Easy Death.
Yeah, all right.
And they're going to Tokyo.
Oh wow!
Yeah, March.
Good for them.
And they're also going to be playing this year at Punk Rock Bowling again. So catch them at Punk Rock Bowling.
Yeah,
there you go.
They're the doom metal.
All right. Well,
very groovy doom metal.
I don't know if you guys know, these guys have a show coming up, and where's the date? March 6th, and it's gonna be at the Garage Bar, and it's gonna be Mars's birthday show. So check out that
one.
It's gonna be pretty good. And they also got another show, and May 15th. And that's also that's your birthday, right?
It's my birthday.
His wife's birthday show.
Yeah, baby.
And they got a bunch of badass bands out there. So we're gonna post that when we put up the video. I mean the little flyer, the post on the IG. But you guys will see these flyers up there as well. But yeah, that's pretty cool, guys. Yeah,
for people who haven't been to the garage bar is pretty badass. Like, they got a good selection of liquor and beer, and they have an awesome stage, big stage for the performers.
It's pretty dope stage.
There's always like a big crowd that comes through. It's really fun. It's one of the better places to go to.
The garage bar, it's in Ventura, California. It's awesome. I've been going there forever. You know, me and Mars, we met there. Like, he stopped me at a DRI show there, so it holds a special place in our heart. But yeah. Usually our favorite bartender there is Brittany. She's an awesome mixologist. She'll make you any drink you want. And it's just this little hole-in-the-wall, gross little punk thrash dive bar. It's like a homey bar. You feel safe there.
Yeah, but when do you ever get the chance to fall in love with your stalker, man? Come on.
Right? You know, exactly.
He's a stalker, but he's pretty cute.
I mean, he has those serial killer eyes, if you know what I mean.
Serial killer eyes. Man. God damn it. Kill me, please.
Serial killer eyes won me over.
Oh shit! Come here, stalker.
But yeah, we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. All Mars Metal. All
right. Yeah. Well, we'll put all that info out there for you guys, and you can find this badass promoter. And man, that's dope. And so, like, right now, the garage bar is just your home right now, huh?
Right now. Yeah. Right now. By like I said, this summer
it's
I should.
School.
I
school
right now. Yeah. Right. It's my. You know. I'm learning. I'm learning, and which I'm. I'm actually at that point where I should be getting out of that. I mean, get out, not the learning, but getting out of, you know, promoting everywhere else.
Well, I feel like you know? When you do that, like, it'll become easy to you because you have a good reputation there. And you got a good set of bands with Bali Ruin, DFI, Serpentins. Mm-hmm.
These
are guys that are getting big.
Oh, DFI. Shout out to DFI, man. Those guys are badass.
I think you've done Kush Foss too, right?
No, he's never done Kush Foss.
Okay.
That's funny because I just found him. On Instagram, I'm like, I want to get these guys.
Dude, I'm pretty sure that they're really easy. You love those guys. They want
to
play.
We just played a show with them yesterday.
Nice. Yeah, I've been seeing them. I think, that was yours that I saw.
Yeah, we actually did a podcast with them, too, recently.
Nice. It's just two guys, right?
Yeah, two guys, man.
They're like a stoner black metal or something.
They call themselves, what is it? They improvise. None of their songs are like really like written. They're just like, it's like there's some parts written and the rest it just go with the flow.
We got two good black metal bands out in Ventura called Cetus.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot,
Cetus is really good though because there's only two members in
that's
band.
The thing, both of those bands are two members.
Oh wow.
Cetus and
Joy Forces.
Yeah, and they
that's what
they
killed it'll be a sick get
it's two like a bands, bunch of bands, two-man bands.
Well, yeah. Centricon.
Kind of done.
Mm-hmm. Centricon, one of my big favorite black metal bands. Mm-hmm. Fucking, they're
That'd
members.
Be pretty
it's,
dope.
You know,
that will put in a little good word.
You right?
Because they always say that. You right?
How do you go find the bands? Just look them up on Instagram, or do you go to shows
friends,
and you find them?
Stalk them too.
Friend, yeah.
Exactly. I'm just
well, he's a stalker.
He's a pro. Like behind the bushes with the
binoculars.
The little ones.
I'm gonna get you.
I try to go as much metal shows as I can locally because it's hard to get out, get out of the, your area where you live.
Oh, yeah, you gotta get out of your comfort zone, yeah.
But, I try looking, try going as much metal shows as I can. I try, when it comes to big shows, like Soulfly, Captures of Sin,
mm-hmm.
and stuff, I'll go, it'd be great to get Soulfly, but get these other guys that are opening for them, mm-hmm. might as well. So that's, how I got Captured Sin. Like, Vader, I talked to Abysmal Dawn. I talked to...
Oh, you actually got to talk to them a little bit? Yeah.
They took a picture with me, dude.
Oh, wow, dope.
Yeah, dude, they took a picture with me. I'm like, dude, first head wound, got to get a picture with you guys.
Yeah. Were you blooded up?
Oh, dude, I don't know if I was blooded up. I think I was...
Well, can you tell the audience, how you got the... He has a big old gash on his head.
He has a big gash in his head. I mean, you can't see him. He can't see his little gash, but he has a pretty gnarly gash on his eyebrow.
Yeah, Friday night at the Vader show, Abysmal Dawn, 2 seconds into the pit, me and a guy hit heads and... Thought I got his sweat on my face, but my buddy pointed at my face, and apparently I had blood on it. And I was bleeding all over my hands, so...
So what band would you get that for?
Abysmal Dawn.
Well, shout out to Abysmal Dawn, man. Hey, man, you guys want to come to the podcast? Let us know! Please, please.
Not only that, shout out to Vader. They fucking killed it, man.
Please come to us too.
Please, Vader.
Hey,
please,
come from Poland and do these guys' podcasts.
Oh yeah, please, Vader. Give us free merch too. Imagine they actually do come.
The funny thing was about that is I hurt my knee, so I usually go in the pit with him. Mm-hmm. And I hurt my knee, so I was like, just give me your vest and your hat and everything, and just go in clean and have fun. Mm-hmm. And I told him, just be careful, be conscious of your surroundings. He goes, okay, no problem, babe. Comes back to me with a bloody face, like, look what I did.
What did I just tell you?
Got you. No, I was like, fuck yeah, this is great.
He was so excited. He's like, take a picture.
Wait, yeah, she has a better
face.
Picture of it.
Is he? Whoa, damn, that's not. That's not a little. That's pretty bad, dog. That's a lot of blood.
Dude, that's bad.
If you want,
dude.
I'll send that to you guys. I
gotta go take a picture of the Abysmal Dawn. Where the fuck are they? You know, I go up there and I'm looking, like, talk to the merch lady. I'm like, is any of the guys members here? They're like, yeah, there's one right there. I'm like, take a picture with me. I'm, first bloody blood at a concert? Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
This is the way he explained it to me. Our friend Jeff, he pulled him out of the pit. He's like, dude, your face? He goes, yeah, my face. Didn't even know. And then looked down and had blood on his hands.
And he was taking pictures of me. There's girls that just stopped out and like taking pictures of my face. I was like,
he was trying to get out of the pit and people were pushing him back because he was bleeding and he didn't know why they were doing that. Because he didn't know he was bleeding.
Because I was trying to get close to the stage and stuff. And then like I was like, Okay, yeah, we're pushing each other. Cool, right here. And then
mosh pit.
Yeah, a little mosh pit in here. And then stand up, my buddy's like, drinking his beer. He's just like, dude, your face. I'm like, fuck yeah. He's like, let me take a picture. I'm like, all right. Takes a picture, and all of a sudden I look at my hand. I'm like, I'm dripping blood.
Oh, man, where's that coming from?
Oh, yeah. I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh, shit. That's dope. That sounds like a badass show. I wanted to go, bro, but I came out all late.
The Pterodactyl, they were there.
Oh, they were there?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, that's dope. So I was trying to get them a show at the Saturday, but we had a bunch of bands dropped out, but like the owner and the promoter were like, that's it. Yeah. I was trying to get them. They're pretty dope, man.
Well, Pterodactyl, the bassist, he's in like 4 other bands.
Oh, wow.
The only other band, it's 2 other bands I know he's in is Tormentor.
Mm-hmm.
And Reincarnation or mm-hmm. Reincarnate? Yeah.
That's dope.
He's badass. Fucking Pterodactyl, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I was trying to hook up with them, but we're actually trying to get another show with those guys.
Do it.
When they played at the garage, I was so loaded, they put a button on my vest, and I was looking at my vest, and I was like, where'd all these buttons come from?
Oh, they can put them all over you?
Yeah, I was just like, started like telling people the next day, I was like, here, you want a button? I don't know where these came from.
Alright, guys, so we're about to go to a break right now, so I'm gonna let you off by saying the next song. No, it's okay, man. Chewy chips. So the next song was
Municipal Waste. Song ABB.
I'm a seat, I'm coming from the road. My thoughts are messing in a clutch of people.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back. We just took our little break. We got a little smokies. We got a little drinks in us.
Oh yeah.
Mars' wife went to get
more drinks.
More drinks. So she'll be back in a little bit, probably like in 5 more minutes. But I'm pretty sure you guys just listened to that second song. What was it Municipal Waste?
Municipal Waste. So
can't go wrong with that. But yeah, man. So we're talking off the camera. You know, having a little thing, catching up. So. So what I was gonna tell you, so you know how were your experiences, you know, dealing with bands, like what, you know, the good and bad so far?
Well, honestly, it's been pretty good. It's just for me, I'm just straightforward with them and stuff, and you know, if they don't want it, they don't want it, you know? And so,
is there any band ever give you, like, a hard time? Well, you don't have to say the band, but
well,
in general.
It's just, like, the only hard times I've had when it comes to bands is that it's either we play too much in our area, or we're too big and we don't want to play in Ventura because we want to play in L.A. where we get seen, which is... It's understandable. You know, you've done your little shit in Ventura and stuff, and you want to, you know, go to the next stage, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but, you know, at the same time, it's represent, you know, the local.
Yeah.
You know, where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and stuff. So it's, I haven't really had any issues yet, that big of issues yet with bands.
Mm-hmm. I know you had issues with bands dropping out.
Oh yeah, but well, you know,
that's
been
probably the worst of it.
It's yeah.
How's been your ratio with that? Did the most of the time drop out?
It's at least, it's been at least one, every show.
One every show drops
one
out.
One every show at least drops out. Right.
And like when they drop out, bro, it's like, what do you do in that instance? Do you just start looking for a new one, or
I just look for other bands, you know, bands that are, you know, close to me, you know, that, you know, have told me, hey, hit us up at the last minute, you know.
Yeah.
We got your back. And so it's done. If they have this time, they have the time. If not,
yeah.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. You know, shit happens. You know, I still put on the show.
Yeah.
So.
But usually you have, like, what, 4 to 5 bands that you do?
My main goal is, you know, at least 4. At the most 4. But most of the time, like, you know, a couple of shows I've had have at least one drop out, and I couldn't get a 4th band back in there. So it was 3. But
then that gives the other bands more time to play.
Well, it gives more time to play, more time to be seen, you know, more time to, you know, have fun and party.
And it gives everyone a chance to, like, network, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's some bands that never met before, and they're like, hey, you're cool. No, you're cool. And I was like, no, you're cooler. Okay, let's just make out. Let's just make out now.
More social.
Yeah,
more social,
cool.
And network.
You know how everyone was a little shy, and he's just like, it's like, I know you're in the band, but you don't want to talk to them. You're just like, oh, move my equipment. And like, dang, he has a nice amp. Should I tell him something? I don't know. You're all shy.
I'm blushing.
I was like, God damn it. But once they play, you're like, hey, you know, the first thing you do, fist pump. Good shit.
Well, once they play, you feel like you know them.
Yeah, you want to say what's up to them. Like,
get your Instagram?
Oh, yeah. I know this is awkward, bro, but can I get your number? No homo, man. I'll just say, you know, we can play future shows together or just hang out, you know, whatever. Oh, she got the refill.
She did get more.
Well, Mars' wife just came back with the artillery. She got more beer.
You should have brought ice.
You can put some in. You put them in the fridge.
He's got a fridge.
Oh, that's right.
You got a freezer. It's all good.
I need one because I've been drinking yours.
Ooh.
I want a divorce.
That's marriage for you, huh?
Shit happens.
Yeah.
So after we finish this part, I'm gonna go get a bottle for you guys too. So.
Yeah. We'll party more, man. Hey, just to let you guys know, this podcast, you know,
we're alcoholics.
We're alcoholics, man. So, like, you guys want to come by.
We're professional alcoholics.
We're professional alcoholics. We're not professional podcasts.
PhD.
PhD and alcoholism.
Alcoholicism.
whatever. But anyways, yeah, we like to party, you know. So we like to make sure that our guests come here and have a good time, you know, right?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
They don't call them speakeasies for nothing.
Right. Speakeasies. But yeah, man, so, I mean, yeah, so, I mean,
I'm good, I got one.
As a promoter, bro, I'm good. I got some whiskey, a little bit of whiskey left. I was going to tell you, as a promoter, you know, is there any advice you would say to bands to that, you know, they're looking for shows, but they're like, you know, they're kind of awkward asking questions, you know what I mean? But I know promoters, first of all, they have their own personal life. They're working, and they got things going on. So I understand that, first of all, they're not going to answer your question the moment they send that message. You're like, right away, you're like, hey, dog, like, hey, I work an 8-hour job too, just like you. So hold your horses, because I know they, I'm sure they bug you, bro, with questions. So.
Oh, I've, yeah.
So, like, what would you tell?
Do you get hit up a lot, like, a bunch of messages, like, on Instagram or?
Here and there. It's, you know, it's. It mainly, well, because I already booked them. You know, they want to, you know, they're asking me, like, oh, you know, what's going on? It's like, I got my, you know, yeah, I'm working my day job and stuff, but, like, I got, you know.
Your personal life, too.
Hold on, let me let you know what's going on. I'll, you know.
When I get to you, I get to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but, like, and yeah, are you going to go home and chill, take a shower?
Or, you know, I'll mesh with somebody and they'll take a while.
Oh, that, too.
Take a while for them, which is, I understand. But then at the same time, when they hit me up, it's like, hey, is that still open? It's like, sorry, you didn't hit me up on time.
Oh, that's true, bro. You know, you lose.
It's coming up, and I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever, any band hits you up, and they want to get a show, but you listen to them, and they're just trash?
Trash part? No, honestly. I haven't. No, honestly, I haven't.
His wife was like, yeah.
See, that's a different type between the
two. He's the nice one.
But I'm the brutal one.
She just said how it is. You guys suck.
Bless their souls. There was this one band. They were like vampire emo rock.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Vampire emo. What the they were trying really hard. Like, I give them props for how hard they were doing it. And, like, they thought they sound good. That's great. But not just our type. They were bad. They were like 69 guys mixed with garbage.
Okay, yeah. So
let's talk about that. Yeah.
Okay, so with that, we were at just a
punk show.
A friend show in Ventura.
Our friend Rat Life, you know, and 3-Day Holocaust was doing
that. Yeah, we're at a show and, like, you know, get my name out there. Have to go local places, you know, get my name out there because I'm just starting. And, like, we're talking and these kids, like, oh, cool, they're here at this punk show, but they're, you know,
all ages,
all emo. They're all, you know, emoed out, the cut off finger gloves, the long black jacket, yeah,
trench coats.
Do they have, like, the vampire teeth?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, like, you know, we're going out, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, we're in a band, da 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 da, here, here's our, you know, our card linked to everything. I'm like, okay. We get home that night, you know, we're like, she's like, I'm gonna look these guys up. I'm like, okay. She looks them up and she's like,
no. The only reason I approached these kids is because I went through that emo stage.
She likes her him.
I love him.
Oh,
him
me too.
Was when I have I the heartogram tattooed on me. It was our father daughter tattoo.
I love
me some Villavallo, man.
He's like what do you call him? Romantic metal.
Love metal.
Love metal.
And this kid had a big old heart of grandma drawn on all crudely with spray paint on the back of his trench coat. I'd go, oh, cool, you like him, I love him too. And then, like, that's how that came about. And I listened to him thinking that they were going to be a little like him. They were terrible. Wow. They were terrible.
No, I mean,
their
so
mom
should
have lied
like
to them and said,
poetic.
No, honey.
They're poetic. And
they
like,
are. They tell stories.
How was this band? Like, what were...
They were trying to be him.
They're trying to be poetic.
They're trying to be him. They're trying to be 69 Eyes that love gothic metal.
Do they have, like, the deep voice?
No.
Oh,
it was very high-pitched, like, baby metal.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it was just, like, it was bad. It
what
was just
the music?
Bad. It was bad.
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, the first song was acoustic, and it was just bad with all that emo shit.
Oh, man. It just looks like they need to work.
They do. They need work. They need guidance. They need someone to tell you, like, this isn't good, kids. You need to work on it.
I think that specific genre is extremely hard because him is the only people who've been able to pull it off.
Nope. They really have been. Yeah. You know, in love metal specifically.
Especially coming from Europe, from Northern
Finland.
Europe. Yeah.
They come from Finland. They come from Helsinki, Finland. And
well,
it's like,
but they took over America. that.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Only because that he was friends with Bam Margera from
Jackass. Oh, that's right, because they're in Jackass.
Bam Margera already disposed them. People in America Bam can thank him for Bam Margera, because he brought them.
Oh, Bam?
Yeah, Bam.
You know why I like Bam? Because he likes Gorguts.
Yeah.
That was his first bet. Yeah, he loves
Gore. He would always show, too.
He has good taste in music.
Slayer. He loves everything.
I've gotten to skate with him a few times. Like, we've gotten to know each other for a bit. He's the one that introduced me to him.
Was it just Bam or was it with the whole crew?
No, just Bam. The only other one that I got to meet was Chris Pontius, but he was kind of a douchebag.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And people disagree with me on that. It was like, he was kind of a
dick.
Bro,
when people say Chris Pontius, I just think of that Jackass movie when he went to Japan and he's in his, like, American
thing, right?
Bopping his wiener around in Japan and the Japanese cops are chasing after him and shit.
He's not that nice.
When I met him, he wasn't. He was kind of a dick. Like, I don't know if he was having a bad day or anything, but
he seemed like the nicest one out of all of them, based on, like, watching him.
I've got to meet Johnny Knoxville, not associated with anybody, just roaming around the streets of Ojai, and he was really cool. He just stood there, shot the shit with me for a while, just talking about dumb shit. But, yeah, Chris Bonnier was kind of a dick when I met him.
Wow.
Yeah. And the one who everybody says that is a dick that I got to meet was Dave Mustaine. He wasn't an asshole at all.
Oh, man, we seen
he was
him.
Super nice.
Every time I see Dave Mustaine, he always had girls around him. Every time I see him, man.
I mean, I was probably one of the girls, man.
Yeah, you're probably one of those girls walking out too.
Oh, my God.
I always saw him with a girl, man. I mean, I don't know if he's married or not.
He is.
Oh, wow. Hey, Dave, if you listen to this shit, my bad. But
we love you, Dave.
We love you, Dave. I don't know what's going to get that far, but it wasn't like that. But I'm just saying, like, that guy, he could probably just point at a girl in there and go like,
panties
get all wet.
Get all swampy in the pants.
I did take pants the first time I saw
that. You have to, man. What is that? Dave Mustaine, if you see a video of him, they throw a bra at him, and he's still soloing. He's like, takes off the bra, throws it, he's still soloing. He's so classy, bro. He's such a classy guy.
That guy's been through a lot. He lost all feeling in his arm. He had to relearn how to play guitar.
Oh,
and now he just really recently went through throat cancer, and he just bounced back from it.
And he's still saying he's selling out massive stadiums.
All over again. Yeah.
Just like Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden had throat cancer, and he's back at
That's
it.
Freaking insane.
Singing.
I like more old school Metallica.
Like the first albums.
Oh, yeah, like the 80s. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Like the 80s.
Kill Them All, Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets.
Yeah, I feel you. That's true. I mean, my first thrash band was Creator.
Okay.
That Germany band. Yeah, I love Creator.
Yeah, I got to miss Creator because he got knocked out in the obituary pit.
Oh, shit.
He's lucky that I'm a big woman and I can carry him. I put him over the toilet caveman style, carried him out of the pit.
Yeah, that's a long walk.
Knocked out by a steel toe boot.
That's a long walk to the car.
It was.
Because I had to carry his ass.
I'm dragging my feet.
Oh, man.
So he owes me a Creator show nonetheless.
And they haven't come back in a while.
I know,
so.
And that's what's sad about
that's
it.
That's why I got lucky with Vader.
Vader, too.
Not going to be walked back for a while either.
I know.
Because overseas bands like that, they have to get their visas.
They have a big issue with that now, because I know Sodom tried to come back here a couple years ago.
That's another goal.
And they canceled that whole show tour because one of the guys couldn't come in. And I was like, well, what's the point? I got my shit paid. I already threw you guys my info. And like, they still like, oh, yeah, you guys didn't do something right. Like, wow, man. Like, this is, we never had a problem like that before. And all of a sudden, they make it harder and harder for these guys.
But it's hard to go, if you're from America, out of the country, too, because if you have a felony, you can't travel to a lot of countries.
Oh, yeah.
We wanted to go to Jamaica, but he couldn't.
I can't
because
go.
Because he had one.
Yeah.
That's because I don't think.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was only, like, what, possession?
Possession of sales.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
Because he had too
Marijuana.
Much weed on him.
Wow, that's so sad.
Too
that's
much weed on him.
That's stupid.
That's like something, at least in California, should, like,
yeah.
Survive. Well, like, I haven't got into it just because I just, you know, keep my mind, you know, myself to myself and shit. But, like, I probably could get it, like, you know, erased ever since the legalization.
Well, if only after 7 years is legally gone, it's expunged, it's gone, you don't have to deal with it anymore. But you could try to battle it, but
there's
it's
loophole,
always going to be on your record.
There's a loophole, my brother.
But since it became legalized, a lot of people have been, you know, it's been getting expunged.
Yeah, and you should, bro.
But I haven't just because worried about myself. I don't want to deal with other shit.
No, man.
Just another
in time, bro. In time. You know, and there's nothing to rush.
My brother, he owes child support, and so it's not a felony, but he can't go nowhere until, like, the child support.
Kind of like
go
evading,
the country.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is a loophole, and he's able to go on cruises to Mexico, like the Carnival cruises. He can go there. He can do that. But like flying out or anything like that, no, he can't do.
Well, that's what I didn't do during the probation.
So you got to be an illegal and swim it, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, little canoe. Shit.
But yeah, man. So, bro. What's your goal right now, you know, being as a promoter right now, man? What are your goals, bro? I know you're saying you're trying to make more connections, more locations.
Oh, my goals? Well, my main goal is to get, you know, the bands that are starting off, that have the talent, that, you know, are doing what they love,
mm-hmm.
you know, out there. Because we're not going to have Slayer. You know,
hey, maybe
we're not gonna.
What if you do, bro? What do you meet Tom Ryan? You're like, hey, bro, can you play? He's like, yeah.
Oh, I got the garage bar. Bro. You like it?
Bar, right? Like, let's do it. Low key, let's just do it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, yeah, that'd be great if I could book someone like that. But I'm just saying, like, when they're all gone, we're not gonna have.
I know
who's gonna take that spot.
I don't know. Exactly.
We need bands out. We need bands that come and take their spot, and they're not going to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, if they're not going to be seen without someone, you know, showing them, and, you know, not giving a. All I want to do is show them. I don't care if I make money or not. I don't care, you know. I don't care on my side. I care about your guys, that band side.
Well, I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to say is, in a couple years, Slayer, Metallica, all these people, they're going to be dead and gone, and you're not going to give these little bands a chance because you're too focused on these big bands.
Well, many people are very nostalgic.
It's all rap music.
They're very nostalgic.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're just
like,
if you don't sound like that certain sound,
yeah,
they're not going
to give. If you don't have this mainstream sound everybody's used to, it doesn't matter.
And that's
not okay.
Nowadays, how
you need to open your
minds
to it. Metal's a dying breed, and we need to keep it alive.
And like, and nowadays, everything's so subgenre.
It's a lot of stuff.
You know, yeah, you got death metal, but then you got progressive slam death metal over here. You got fucking, you know, thrash.
Well, when Slayer
you got crossover
was getting
thrash,
big,
you got
so was Motley Crue. They were in the same genre. That was metal.
Yeah, everything was
like,
metal.
Everything was metal. Everything hard with that hard demonic bass line, this fast guitar,
well,
and
Motley
the screaming
Crue,
bollocks.
They had like the pentagrams on
the
their
speed,
drums.
The pentagrams. And
well, they had
honestly,
the speed. That fucking...
They don't get enough credit for what they did do.
Yeah.
They had
no,
a lot
Motley
of
Crue
fast
is
shit.
Good.
I think they put,
no.
they put
like,
a big scene in L.A. for
like,
the whole metal genre.
You know?
Yeah. Obviously, they did their own thing compared to like Slayer and Metallica and stuff. But
they were
they
the pioneer of the hair metal, you know?
Yeah,
and that did become a subgenre. But back in the day before the subgenres, Motley Crue and Slayer were in the same genre.
Yeah.
And people refused to realize
that. I know,
that.
But I remember there was this guy. What was his name? Caden, the one from Hyrax. He said that.
Yeah.
Keaton.
I've been talking
Keaton.
To him.
Sorry, brother. he pretty much said, he's like, I miss the days when everything was just heavy metal.
Yeah.
Everything
it
was
all
was
one
just
genre,
heavy. Yeah,
it
was just
it
one genre.
Confusing.
It wasn't
it's
confusing.
It's like either this band played faster or that, but it wasn't a subgenre.
It was no
like,
subgenre. He's like, he's like, oh, there's death metal, there's black metal. He goes, my wife is from Norway. So he's like, there's black metal, but he's like, back in the day, everything was just heavy metal.
Yeah.
It was just death metal. It's just, there was nothing different.
So that's something we all agree on. And the band that's playing on March 6th for Mars' birthday show,
mm-hmm.
Antihero, they bring that classic just
that
metal
old school
back.
Metal.
Mm-hmm.
You take all of the big four,
you know?
And mush them all together, you got Antihero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Neil, who's our guitarist, he's like the front man of it. He
mm-hmm.
is phenomenal. Calvin, the singer, his vocals are just... old school and amazing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, for your show, did you handpick all the people you want?
Pretty much.
Oh, nice.
That's
good
stuff,
see,
man.
Well, because I'm good friends with Antihero. And so they've been on a little hiatus, and this is their first show of the year. Because their last show was in December, and they've been, you know, on the hiatus. And I was like, you know, it's my birthday. We're good. You know, come play for me. Like, fuck it. All right. Let's do it. And then Defied... Ever since they've been playing, you know, I've always been into them. You know,
it's like for me, like what you're saying, like part of the reason I'm doing the podcast is I want to expose this music more. And I feel like people who don't listen to this music, if they at least go to a show or listen to it, like, say if they actually go to a show, there's no way they're not just going to fucking feel something, like, you know, feel that anger or that aggression. And it's like...
Infections.
That's what I want to expose.
Well, you got
it. I don't care where you come from. If you listen to it, you will feel it.
Well, it's like a lot of people who are more into like the popular stuff. Yeah, cool. Like Slipknot, you know.
Yeah.
All that Lamb of God, like all the popular
Radio
stuff.
Metal.
It's like,
yeah.
You know, you hear that every day, and that's what, you know, you're going to hear from another, you know, that's what most popular you're going to hear. And it's like, but once that's gone, what are you going to hear? You know? Everybody's gonna be used to listening to Slipknot, who's been around forever.
No, but it's like look at bands like Judas Priest. They're like in their 70s, bro. They're still.
But they're not gonna last long either.
I just got to go to Judas Priest because that was a big thing in my life. And Rob Halford, at as old as he is, oh my God, brought me to tears. He is phenomenal. No matter your nosebleeds or up front, Judas Priest is still fucking Judas Priest.
And look,
man.
All the members, bro, like the guitarists, they got dementia. And
yeah.
Like
look what happened to AC/DC.
Yeah, they're falling apart, man. Everyone's falling apart.
I got to see them play before Axl took the scene.
Asshole,
you know?
Rose.
Yeah,
sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. I got to see them at the Dodgers Stadium. And like, it was amazing. Yeah, every song they took like a couple minute break because, you know, they're either
old.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I thought Angus was going in the back to, you know, probably doing something to keep his energy going up because he was fucking going everywhere, dude.
Yeah.
You know, fucking.
I got to see Overkill a couple years ago when I still lived in Texas at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the side of the stage, and Bobby Blitz, the singer, he was going backstage and, like, sucking on oxygen because he's old, you know, but he's took a couple hits off those oxygen, he comes right back out and got that classic high-pitched Bobby Blitz voice like you want.
Oh, wow. He has oxygen
tank? He does, you know, but he doesn't make it public, you know, and I'm pretty sure, I'm sorry, Bobby, I know you probably don't want this public, but even though he does need that, you can just see the passion for the music that he does have. He's going to continue it, whether he needs to suck on that oxygen or not.
Yeah.
Some people need to, some people don't.
Like, it's love.
Man, like there was a guy we just auditioned for my band, and he was telling me he got invited out to rehearse with Phil from that was the original singer Pantera. And he was there for the last show for Slayer. He was on backstage, and he said he saw the equipment for Tom Araya, and there's a bunch of stickers and stuff around his amp that says no headbanging. He has to be constantly...
You know why that, right?
Yeah, but he has to be constantly reminded, don't headbang.
Like, and that's another thing about metal. It's infectious.
It is.
You can't help but to
it
move,
is.
Whether it be a headbang or whether you're dancing like you listen to rap metal.
Yeah.
It's infectious.
It just hits your...
Yeah,
it's like I think you're telling me there's a science to it. Like, whether it's the chord that's being played, it just hits you mentally, and it gives you that aggressiveness and just wants to.
It comes from what I was taught. You listen to what feels good. Listen to what feels good.
Yeah, but is it, even Tom Ryan, man, yeah, that reminded him. I'm pretty sure he's like doing his knobs and he's like, oh, lame. Like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, it's like, Tom, you can't headbang anymore, but do what Ozzy does. He jumps. Ozzy jumps or bounces
that guy's
like a motherfucker.
Ancient, bro.
Damn, Ozzy, when he goes, that's going to be a sad fucking day for the world. But you know what? Ozzy's going to live forever because we all need him.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, exactly. We've had a bunch of scares with him.
We love that crazy bastard.
Bro, he was just as infectious as a Motorhead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
When he passed away, oh my goodness.
Well, I never saw him. I never saw
Motorhead. I never got to see Motorhead.
Okay,
either.
Good.
So
I finally met someone.
I was close to seeing Motorhead when I saw Megadeth in Texas, and Lemmy had gotten his laryngitis, and a band filled in for him called Volbeat. And I was sad because I didn't get to see Lemmy, but Volbeat filled in, and I didn't know who they were, and I was making fun of them because I didn't know who they were. Saw them come on. I am a huge Volbeat fan.
Oh, yeah.
I love them because they're metal, they're rock, they're rockabilly, they're so many genres.
Yeah.
They're from Denmark. They're, like, amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're
really good.
I grew up very bluegrass.
All right.
I grew up very bluegrass because my dad and stuff, and, you know, I love Johnny Cash.
That's where the wash tub
and stuff. And then hearing Volbeat, like, it was, like, heavy metal, but with, like, a Johnny Cash vocals to it.
It was that one song from Johnny Cash where it talks about the guy making that car. What was that song?
The 69 Cadillac.
Yeah. It took him years to make this car, and it was a piece of every car.
And then when he finally went to it's telling the story of him making that car out of all the different Cadillac parts from every year. He went to the city to try to register it, and then told him, "What the fuck did you do, man? The fuck is this?" And he's driving down the road, and he says, "The lights are flashing every which way," and stuff like that.
And it's like his wife is like, "Yeah, take me a ride in that."
That's
he's like, "All right."
So Johnny Cash is another cool thing about with me growing up in Ventura. I'm a Venturian, tried and true. Johnny Cash, he lived in the city my mother grew up in, which was Casita Springs. He lived there, and his office was on Main Street in Ventura, down Xander Alley. And you can still go by to that day and look into Johnny Cash's office, and it's just like the best thing.
I mean, nostalgic, It's crazy, man. Like, a lot of these artists, they leave an impact in our life, man.
They really do.
And they have their struggles just like us, man. Some had addictions. Yeah. Some were just douches, and they became, all of a sudden, they're humble.
Or assholes, but they had a passion for what they did.
Yeah, they did.
They loved
they did
what
it
they
no
did.
Matter what. Sick, raining, sunny, anything. They were up there, they were singing because they believed in it.
And that's what I appreciate a lot of these things, you know, what we do and we talk about. Because, like, you know, our listeners right now are listening, and they're like, well, I'm pretty sure you guys are going off topic, but, you know, we're real people. We're talking about real stuff, and, like, stuff like that. It's just like, they were assholes, man, but they have some real shit that you can relate to, man.
They were assholes, but they believed in it enough to get up there and fucking do it.
Hey, man, like, some people are scared to do things. Mm-hmm. They're scared to make a move. They're scared to make risky chances. Like, it's like, for example, like, I like that girl, but what if she denies me?
What's the worst she's going to tell you?
What's she
going to
do? You're a stalker?
Look how that turned out.
Married! Stalker, but married now. But it's like, I'm just saying, it's like risky moves like that.
I think what everybody needs to realize is the worst thing that's going to happen to you when you take a chance is that you're going to be told no. Lot of people are afraid of that word no. Don't be afraid of no, because that's the worst thing that's going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
But the boy in high school is going to be like, no, I don't want to date you. Or, sorry, no, you didn't get the job. You can't be afraid of that. You get back up and you keep going, because that's what you need to do for yourself. Because you matter. You can do this.
And that stuff helps everything else in life and what you do.
Just because this freaking dude said no doesn't mean every dude's going to say no.
Of course. Man, of course.
We all have our own opinions.
We all do. We're all human.
And give us chubby people a chance, man. Yeah. Chubby
chasers, man.
Damn, team Chub Rub for the win.
Hashtag. Yeah, man, but it's just, you know, it's just like, that's how it works, man. It's like, we gotta take everything we can that we learn from other people, man.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a brief moment, they'll tell you the most interesting.
It's a journey. You learn from your journey. That's called life. Yeah. And don't take it for granted. So live every day like it's your last.
Yeah, of course, man. And tomorrow's never promised, man.
It isn't. So reach for the fucking sky.
Yeah, and it's a trip, man. I always hear those horror stories where it's like, you know, people are like, yeah, I was sleeping with my lady, and the next day she didn't wake up. She didn't wake up, and you don't know why.
That's what happened with my dad. Is we were all partying, me, my mom, my dad, my friend Todd, and my dad, he was always a partier, so he never relaxed until everybody went home. Mm-hmm. Once he relaxed after our friend Todd left, he took a bite of his sandwich, went into cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
He was only 42.
It's very young.
Like, your life's very not young. Promised, and you don't know if you have that blood clot in your heart that's going to move.
But it builds up slowly. You never know.
So why are you going to be working day in, day out just to be sad your whole life when it's not promised?
Yeah.
You know, go to a fucking metal show. Come out to the show on March
6th. Support those locals, man.
Support your local bands. Keep the scene alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, support Mars, man. Love it's it. Promotions. Yeah.
So, like, for you promoting, is there a profit for you right now?
Right now, not really. And I really don't give a shit. Just because I'm here for that's my love for the bands. My love for the local bands, love for what they want to do. You know, it's just amazing. Maybe one day I'll get profit, but right now I just want to get these guys shown.
And you will,
I want to represent. Nah, I want to represent
them. You'll
make
profit in a bit, bro. It's just like it takes a little while.
Oh, no, it does. But, like, even if I'm not making profit, I love what I'm doing.
I think since, like, for example, like Bali Ruins, since we started, I think, and all the merch and all the stuff we made, I think we will make close to like $1,000.
Yeah.
It's a very slow funds.
Yeah.
Well, it's.
But
it's all small.
It starts
stuff,
small, but it's like later on in the years, we get better at promoting. We get better, you know, asserting. And it's like you, bro. It'll start slow right now, but it's all of a sudden you start getting the dollar, it starts to $5, to $10, you know what I mean? It starts growing.
It's been, Well, especially for Ventura, we don't have that big of a metal scene.
No, but you could make something that big, bro. Like, if you look 5 years down the road, you never know. You might just, you might have bands that have your back regardless. They never say no to you.
Bringing bands from LA to play with the bands that are in Ventura, the metal bands in Ventura, makes it better. Mm-hmm. You know, because we don't have that many metal bands in Ventura. Mm-hmm. You know, and bringing, you know, metal bands that are in Ventura that have to fight, I mean, not in Ventura, sorry, in LA, you know, bringing metal bands from LA, that they're in a rat race in LA.
Yeah, but there's...
And Ventura, like, yeah, they'll get seen more in LA, but they have to battle with other bands that are sounding just like them. And Ventura, you're new.
I don't know, bro, but...
You're new and different.
In LA, bro, like, I've been hooking up with like, more and more bands, and I keep finding more and more promoters.
You're hooking up with bands?
Yeah. Orgies.
Don't it's 2020, man. Don't tell assume. My wife. I'm telling his wife.
She's a receiver. She listens to my podcast. I'm married. I'm married. Because I told her in the last podcast, I was like, I'm married. She was right here. No, but it's like, I keep finding more promoters. I keep finding different scenes. I'm just like, there's like, what was that one band? I keep forgetting. Post-punk. I didn't know there was a genre, I mean, a scene for that. I keep finding more and more scenes. I didn't even know, man. There's like a scene for just post-punk. Like
the scene we found was video game punk.
What?
And it's bizarre as hell. I don't even know how to explain it, but just imagine like the Mario Brothers theme, but put punk on top of it.
What?
It's weird as hell. Yeah.
Yeah, you keep digging in, and you find more and more.
Right? Like math metal.
Math metal.
Oh, dude.
That's hilarious. I mean, I'm not saying that it's like funny, it's like they're a joke. It's like, god damn, those guys are smart. They play like 300 beats. Like they already know. Like, I won't play 363 notes, and that's the end of the song. It's like, they already know, bro. They already know if they play 363 notes. That's the end of the song. It's like, they're just that great. Yeah, that's what I mean. Mathematicians with instruments, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever floats their boat.
Math metal, fuck it. That's just weird.
There's
shit.
So many shit out there, man. It's how crazy music has grown, man.
It's like, for my age, I grew up with the starting of metalcore.
Uh-huh.
And stuff like, yeah, that's what I grew up with. But like, that's not metal. It's not metal, but it's
not traditional metal.
It's not, you know, traditional, and it's a subgenre.
Yeah, like, you know, because metalcore did a lot of like, what is that, like breakdowns? They do a lot of breakdowns.
Breakdowns. Well, like, it's like thrash. That's been around since the fucking 80s.
Yeah.
You know. Death metal, that's been around since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the OG shit. And, like, a lot of this other stuff's just been, like, combining, I don't know.
No, but there's a lot, bro. It's a lot now, and it's crazy.
It's expanding.
It's amazing what music is coming about right now, man.
It's amazing that they're trying to combine it, trying to differentize it, but,
I don't know. Some work, some doesn't, bro.
It does. No. It does. And it's... Yeah.
No. It's amazing, bro. Music is amazing in general. You know, it has its ways, and it moves, and it grows. And it's crazy, bro. It's crazy the elements that different members bring into their band.
It is.
It's just like, I come from a classical genre, and you're bringing them into a metal band. And it's just like... It just changes it all up. And it's like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. We're adding, like, Beethoven to metal. Here we go.
Yeah,
that's when all those technical death metal bands came out of nowhere in the 90s, because they were all came from classical guitar. And it was like, we like death metal. Fuck it, we start adding it into it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
heck yeah.
But yeah, man, it's crazy, man. But I wanted to ask you, bro. It's like, what's your advice, bro? What's your advice to future promoters?
For future promoters, pretty much. When it comes to promoting, it's shouldn't really be about yourself. It should be about the bands, because they're not going to be seen without you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, you should be yourself, but it's, as a promoter, you should appreciate the music. You should appreciate what these people are coming, what they want to do,
mm-hmm.
what they love, what their passion is. And for something that, you know, kids are not going to see this unless these people play it.
It's yeah. about the bands, not
it's
the
about,
money.
You know, it's about mm-hmm. the bands. It's about the, you know.
And all ages shows, if you can, as much as you can. Because
yeah,
our kids are going to
there's a lot of 21 and older,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, yeah, we all want to party, we all want to get fucked up and, you know, shit and stuff. But it shouldn't be out, you know, it shouldn't be just about getting fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It should be about, you know, your passion for your music.
Yeah.
For you listen to. You know, for something that you can connect to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not, you know, we all have our own difference, but for to get our own, you know, personal angers, whatever, you know, our emotions out, if it, that what comes to it, or, you know, what makes us happy, you know, mm-hmm. that, fuck it. All that's right. what it is.
No,
what do you see yourself in the future doing promotions? Is something you want to just get bigger at?
Well, promotion, I do want to get bigger at it. But I don't want to make it so big that, you know, it's...
Well, the bigger it is, the bigger your team.
Well, that's it, the bigger... Too. Yeah, well, that is. But I just don't want to be, like, where people are like, okay, hey, you guys are going to play? You guys got to sell your own tickets.
Type thing. Oh, pay to play?
Yeah, pay to play. I don't want to ever do that.
It's tough. Like, I
just want to help out the new guys.
Like, I play at,
you
the,
know,
I play at the Whiskey, bro, and, like... I'm not gonna lie, I had a horrible experience with the whiskey.
Okay.
And but I made $300 off of it. I really did. But it was, it's a shit show. It really was. But it was just
I'm
the
professional.
People. No, it was like the beautiful stage. They had a beautiful sound system. Just horrible people working there. You know what I mean? That's,
mm-hmm.
that's what I was dealing with. But it's like
I love going there for shows.
No, but it's like
But yours is totally different.
No, but it's like I'm sure. I'm gonna introduce you to more people later on because I feel like I have a connection for the whiskey pretty soon, because we got some new guy we're talking to right now and he said he can get shows for free at the whiskey, so I'll throw that at your way pretty soon.
Or get any better?
Yeah. So I'm just saying it's just like it's just the people that make it work, and like we need more humble people out there. And like right now, I mean, Cali is expensive, so people are pretty selfish. Pretty selfish here. It's like, God damn.
You're being humble. They're very
people.
Selfish.
People are thinking more money nowadays than their passion.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you can make money off your passion, but is it that meaningful?
It takes the meaning out of it.
It's not your passion.
it makes it more like a job.
Yeah. It's like, because I love promoting. I don't, you know, that's a passion of mine, but I don't plan to make money out of it. And... you know, I have my day job,
yeah.
So I make money off that. But, like, promoting is, like, to me, it's, I'm in that music.
Yeah.
And I'm representing that music
yeah,
that I love.
You represent a lot of people.
That I love.
If you're a promoter, you represent all the bands.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, I have a big genre and stuff. It's not just metal, death metal, thrash metal. You know, it's a big genre.
Yeah.
And I love it all. And I want to represent it all. And... you know, having a lot of people just have a what's popular nowadays passion. You know, they
I don't even know what's popular nowadays.
Yeah,
what's popular right now? Billie Eilish and Lizzo.
I don't even
so
know who that is.
That's not
exactly.
even.
I don't even know who that is, man. But good
yeah.
for you guys. I don't even know what that is,
but
yeah. But
when you keep the scene alive, keep the metal alive.
Yeah,
it's never gonna die, bro. It's never died. There's always somebody that comes back.
If it
back.
Does, it'll come back like Jesus.
It right will.
There
it
like all music
will
just like crash and burn, and then metal will rise.
And be
well, that's
open
gonna
to
happen, no
people
what.
Who want to learn it.
We're gonna come to the
yeah.
towards the end of our show, and we want to start off doing something new. So I'm gonna ask you three questions.
All
right. First question is, what is your favorite movie and why?
Well, my favorite movies would have to be the '80s thing.
Oh, Thing?
The Thing.
Oh, man, that movie's
oh,
creepy.
Oh, dude, with the prosthetics and stuff. Hell yeah.
That
like,
movie's creepy,
that was
bro.
So
that
realistic.
That movie, like, traumatized me, man.
Like, imagining just middle of nowhere, alien, parasite.
Right.
Just.
That was so well made, too. It was. I think the freakiest one is when that head comes off and all the spider legs come out.
Yes.
That was a crazy scene.
You know, but I'm not going to lie, that's probably the realest thing that could happen.
Right?
That's the real.
Well, it's random. It would be a random event.
No, but it's not even random, bro. It's like if there was an extraterrestrial, we would understand it. And that's well, something that makes sense.
Frozen for years.
Yeah.
You know.
It was trying to get here and it just like, oh, didn't work out. But that's like something real.
It's surprising he says that that's his favorite because he's a total Marvel nerd too.
Well, I'm a big comic book fan, but when it comes to like.
Movies in general.
That
was
right
a masterpiece,
there,
if you ask me.
Like that. Yes. Fucking the horror and like just realization, like the dog, right? Your dog.
Effects. Oh yeah, there were huskies they had.
Exactly. Like just like it could look just like this, and all of a sudden, you're getting torn apart by a freaking
alien,
random, you know, shape shifting.
That was really good.
Yeah.
What's your favorite video game?
Oh, too many?
Okay, so ultimately, my favorite video game would have to be the Command & Conquer series.
I've only known it as a board game.
No, Command & Conquer?
Is that a military game or something?
Yeah, it was military. It's Command & Conquer that had Tiberian Sun, Red Alert.
Red Alert.
What?
I love Command & Conquer, Red Alert.
It was a board game for first, wasn't it?
Command &
Conquer is like a string of like tanks and
like it was,
Air Force.
It was strategic. Yeah. Like, you build your base, you can build your, you know, as you upgrade.
I used to play Red Alert, yeah.
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 No, like, the whole series right there, that was, like, one of my ultimate favorites. It's just...
Straight Batiller. Yeah.
Exactly. Let me build my base and destroy your base.
I used to play that Red Alert on, like, the highest difficulty. And I remember, like, the little soldiers. Your base is right here. And I remember in normal difficulty, they'll come up to your base, like, maybe your turret is right here. They're, like... throw a grenade, and the hardest difficulty they could be like behind the mountain and throw a grenade like all the way over there. Like, god damn,
you know?
Yeah, you have to like send your forces to shoot them. Mm-hmm. And it was like, hey, they made it really hard, man.
The last question is, have you had any paranormal or ghost story activity?
He hasn't, but
to you?
I have.
No, I've had
something unexplainable.
Well, I had a couple. One, when I was a child, living top of a mountain, middle of nowhere, I woke up and I just woke up and walking across the hallway down, you know, I looked out my door, my bedroom door, and across the hallway was like a glowing, like it was skeleton, but it also like, it was a person's body. But it was like see-through, so you just saw the skeleton, but you saw like a frame of a body, you know, like an outline. Yeah, saw that a couple, you know, walk across, and then I remember getting up, walking, looking out the door, but like, so the person went left, I looked right, and the person was back on the right going towards another room. Like it was just...
Did you go after it?
No, I didn't. I just remember that. I went back to my room.
Like, nope. He's smarter than that.
It was just trippy because it was just like, it was glowing, transparent. Like, it was weird. Like, it was see through, but like, everything was glowing. Like,
you're like, yeah.
It was trippy. It was just like, but like, as it was walking by, it looked at me. As I looked down the hall, when I saw it at the opposite end where it walked to, looking at me, like,
you're like, that's a no for me, dog.
I'm going back.
My Uber just got here. I gotta go.
Hey, my mom calling.
But all right, man. So like,
yeah.
So we answer that question. We're gonna give you a chance to give shout outs, your promotions, whatever. So go ahead, bro.
Next Friday, which is Friday the March 26th, is my 30th birthday. And so at the garage, we're going to have Disrupt Euphoria, Anti-Hero, Defied, Pain of Ruin, and CFTC. And then...
And it's March 6th, right?
It's March 6th,
March
6th. March 6th. And then in May, we're going to have... May 15th, we're going to have It was a 3-day Holocaust, Grave Time, Malice Thoughts, Lords of Dust, and Hell Toupees.
All right. Is there any shout-outs you want to give out, bro?
Just a big shout-out to the Garage Bar in Ventura. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't really be doing this. And, yeah, we love them. It's all because of them we're doing this.
All right. So, as we're about to, you know, end this, we're going to end this with a badass song that our brother here chose. And thank you for listening to Consider Dead podcast. And any of you guys want to, you know, join in, you know, just send us a message or anything, you know, we'd love to interview you guys. So I'm Dead King.
Travis.
Our brother here who's going to end it with his song.
All right, I'm Mars, and this is Toxic Holocaust, Nuke the Cross.